morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletins handy, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that God will provide something to you and to me that He desires for us to take out and to apply this week, those places where God calls us to go as the priesthood of all believers. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you this morning. So, picture this. You come home after a long day of work, and you walk through the front door, and the first thing you see, it's unavoidable, trash everywhere, all over the place, from the entryway and into the kitchen. And boy, when you get to the kitchen, it is much, much worse. And at a quick glance, and after taking in everything, you start to wonder, well, how could this have happened? But then this is what you see. And you know immediately what happened. What happened? Who did it? Who done it? The dog. No offense to you dog lovers or your cat lovers, but sometimes this happens in life. We know how to read certain situations, don't we? This one is low-hanging fruit. This is the T-ball on the tee. That's an easy one. The dog did it. Not the spouse, not the kids, not the parents, not the neighbor. The dog did it. Or how about this? You're out shopping, and then all of a sudden you come back to your car, and you notice this beauty mark on the front of your car. Has it ever happened to you? You go shopping, and all of a sudden you come out and you find something that wasn't there before. And for a split second, you start to ask yourself, well, who done it? What happened? But then you don't have to look too far, because this is what you notice in the car that's not too far away from yours. Now, if you and I are reading this situation, and maybe this has happened to you, if it has, I'm so sorry. Let's be careful where we park, right? But if you're taking in these visual aids, how would you read the situation? What would you say happened? You'd say, well, most likely, if that spot on my car wasn't there before, then maybe, just maybe, in lining up these two spots, the person in front of me gave my car this beauty mark, right? Thank you, neighbor. See, that situation, that's not that hard to read. Or how about this? You walk outside and you start to see this happening in all of God's good creation. You start to see buds coming out on the twigs and the branches. You see stuff starting to creep up out of the ground. Is this happening around your house? Good, good. If we see this happening and we take this all in and we read the situation, what is this all telling us? What season is upon us? Yeah, but sometimes we get that little extra dash of snow for good measure sometimes, don't we? But yeah, we know how to read the situation. This is easy. Plants are starting to come up out of the ground. Things are starting to pop and bud on the trees. Birds are doing their bird thing and so on. We know this. We can read this. But every now and then in life, something happens, and it is hard to read the situation. The variables are there, but no matter how they're stretched, no matter how they're displayed before us, sometimes in life, there are situations that are hard to read. In our gospel lesson for this morning from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, we see this question in a lot of ways being asked by Jesus' audience. Jesus, what happened here? Because there's a couple really tough, hard-hitting, 90-mile-an-hour fastball situations, and boy, is it hard to read what's happened. And as we take a look at a couple of these situations that Luke shares with us, maybe, just maybe, we start to think back to situations that are happening in your life and in my life that are really, really hard to read. And so we come before God with the people in this reading, and we ask the question, Jesus, what happened? Luke kicks it off for us like this. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So let me kind of pull this into the here and now for us. People were actually going to worship, and then wouldn't you know, right in the midst of their worship, they're cut down by someone who has come with violence in their hands. We've heard about these before, haven't we? Sad to say. I mean, picture this. Someone comes to worship and they're right here at the communion table, and then someone comes in and cuts everybody down. In Jesus' situation here, this is what happens. People rush up to him, and it's like they have the social media update of the day. Jesus, you wouldn't believe what just happened. That guy, he cut people down, and you know what they were doing? They were worshiping. How could Pilate do that? Right? And what we sometimes miss is the nuance here. Is that people come to Jesus with this update, this social media blast, and they say, oh, those Galileans, they got taken out. Jesus' ministry goes to the Galileans, Judeans, and Samaritans, and yet the only group highlighted here is the Galileans. And so when people come up to Jesus, they really want to know, did those Galileans do something worse than everybody else? Were they worse sinners than other people? See, that's kind of the mentality, and maybe you've heard that in some of your circles today. Well, so-and-so, you know, they live this kind of life, but this person over here, oh, yeah, pretty good, but not over here. See, we hear that today, don't we? And sometimes we have a situation like this that's set before us, and it makes us take a step back and ask the question, Jesus, what happened here? And for this group, the thought is this, well, they must have really messed up, and boy, it came back around. What goes around does what? It comes around, and boy, that merry-go-round, it came around, and boy, there was a big bully on the end of that merry-go-round, and man, his fist was... But what does Jesus say to this kind of thought and this kind of theology? He says, no. Look at verse 2, what Jesus says. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you what. No. I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Once again, situations in life, some are really easy to process. Like the whodunit with the trash can in the kitchen. Dog did it. He's wearing it all over his face. What happened to the car? Well, the car in front of me, that spot lands up. Yeah, they did it. Some things in life are really easy to process, but sometimes in life, there are situations that take us and sweep us off our feet, and they leave us asking questions like this. And maybe you've heard someone ask this in life on the heels of a very difficult situation, or maybe, just maybe, you've asked this question in life before. God, why did this happen? Or maybe the next question that's a close cousin, what did they do? Over the years, I've heard this as a pastor during visits and in hospital rooms and in tough, tough situations. Pastor, what did I do to deserve this? Maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you're asking that question today. Why is this happening? What did I do? What did we do that this is now happening? Because this, I don't understand. Next situation, and this time Jesus sets it before him, and it must have been the buzz of the community, because Jesus talks about it this way. There's a big old tower, and wouldn't you know, that tower, it came a crashing down, and when it did, it was ugly. Luke 13, verses 4 to 5, we hear this. Jesus shares this with his group, his context. It says, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? And what does Jesus say? I tell you what? No. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus' audience is wrestling with another vein of inaccurate theology. It's called cause and effect theology. Happens a little bit later in Jesus' ministry. In John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, Jesus and his disciples are walking along and they come across a man who's blind. And wouldn't you know, the question that comes out of the mouth of Jesus' followers is just this. Jesus, who sinned? Jesus, who messed up? Was it him or was it his parents that he's now blind? See, we hear this cause and effect theology all over the place. And maybe you've heard it too. guy by the name of Job in the Old Testament, especially in chapter 4 and chapter 22. Boy, does Job hear it. And when you have friends like Job does, you don't need enemies. If you know Job's story, it goes a little something like this. He lost his kids. He lost his property. He watched as the neighboring political bullies of the day walked off with his cattle, his sheep, and so on. And if that wasn't bad enough, he gets to a point where he's got all these sores over his body, and he's so disfigured, he doesn't even look like Job anymore. And finally, his wife comes to him and says, "Stop with your pride. Just curse God and die. Thanks, Mrs." And then off in the distance, his friends are walking, and it says specifically that they didn't even recognize the guy. In fact, when they got there, do you know what they said? They said nothing at all. They just cried. Because they couldn't process initially what was going on in Job's life. It was ugly, it was messy, and it just didn't make sense. And then a little bit later, they start to speak to things that they just don't understand. Job's friends say things like, "Well, Job, you know how it is. What goes around comes around. A person doesn't suffer like this unless they did something over here. What did you do?" In Job chapter 22, one of his friends starts to say things like, "Job, you were a bully to the widows. There were people who needed clothing, and you didn't clothe them. They were hungry, and guess what? You kept the food under lock and key. Job, you really messed up. This doesn't happen to people in life unless they did something over here. Cause and effect." And boy, does God step in and correct that one. In this situation in Luke chapter 13, we hear this all over the place. And maybe in your life you've heard it too. "Well, this is happening over here because you did this over here. You got this area of brokenness in your life because something probably happened over here." And you know how it is. What goes around does what? Comes around. And boy, it came around this time for you, didn't it? See, we hear that all over the place. But did you notice the way in which Jesus doesn't give the answer that the people want? What does he say instead? He says this, "But unless you repent, you too will perish." The situation, people are asking once again, why did this happen? Or in other words, what did they do? See, Job's not the only one to hear this kind of cause and effect theology. Maybe you've heard it too. And God, through his word, tells us that it's time to put to rest the cause and effect theology. What happened? Don't we see this sometimes in the news? For example, just recently, even watching the news, you know about a really horrific collapse of a facility in a building in India that left people dead, left lots of people looking for loved ones, coworkers, and so forth. And we come to the situation and we wonder, we can't really put this all together. I mean, this one's hard to figure out. Why did this happen? Or maybe you've turned to the news and you saw what's been going on in my home state of Nebraska. And you see the devastating floods that have swept away homes, livestock, property, and in some cases, human lives. And we see a situation like this, and we ask the question, why did this happen? And there are some in our world today, believe it or not, who would come forward and say, "Well, this happened because somebody did something over here." We heard that a lot after 9/11. We heard that a lot after Hurricane Katrina. "Well, God was just doing this because something happened over here." See, we hear that, don't we? We hear that misstep so often. Or maybe this, we hear about a really devastating accident that hits close to home, maybe with a family member or a friend, a classmate, a neighbor, a coworker. And it causes us to pause and take a step back and try to put the pieces together, but here's the thing, we can't. And we ask the question, "God, why did this happen? What happened?" These two situations that Jesus addresses. The first one with the people who are killed in worship. What we hear is just this. Part of the inaccurate theology of the day was this. There's some kind of balance system out there. Some kind of balance, cosmic balance system where the people over here, they did a little bit more bad than good, and boy, that didn't work out so well. That's part of the attitude Jesus addresses. And maybe you've heard that today. For example, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if there's been a part of your heart that's responded this way when you see people on the street. Well, they must have did something over here because now look where they are. So-and-so doesn't have a home. That person doesn't have clothing. That person can't get their act together, so this is happening over here. Don't we hear that? Don't we respond that way sometimes? We take a seat of judgment over and above somebody else who's going through certain brokenness in life, and we say, sometimes unintentionally, but maybe intentionally, boy, they're living this way because they did something over here. And now, boy, what goes around does what? It comes around. And to that, Jesus says what? No. Second situation, and we've heard all about this already, cause and effect. You put something in motion over here, and it kicks out over here. And boy, sometimes it's just not pretty. You see somebody on the street. You see somebody in your store. You see somebody in your school. You see somebody that maybe comes over to your house. And boy, the judgment, it flies pretty fast, doesn't it? And we start to ask the question, well, what happened in life? What was the cause of this? Cause and effect. What happened? Because this, boy, it didn't start out that way. It couldn't have started that way. Maybe it was something that happened at home. Maybe mom and dad didn't have it all together. Maybe mom and dad were fighting. Maybe mom and dad did something and they totally messed up so that we have this. And people make the misstep of saying cause and effect. Just like they did with that tower that fell in Luke chapter 13. And to this, Jesus says what? He says, no. See, what the people are really asking Jesus to do in this situation is, take the work of your Father, Jesus, and let's put it underneath the microscope. Let's take God's word, let's take God himself and put him underneath the microscope, and let's dissect him. Let's dissect his ways. Let's dissect his deity so it makes sense to us. So we can take God and bring him down here, and we can have it all figured out. But to that, Jesus says what? He says no. He's not going to take the big picture plan of his Father and put it underneath the microscope for people to speculate, point fingers at, scoff at, roll their eyes at, tisk at, and walk away. But what Jesus does say is this. What does he say? He says, repent. See, isn't that so true that so often in life, we try to frame the situation our way? We try to frame the conversation the way we'd like to see it go. But then God comes in the strength of a relationship through his word and his Holy Spirit and says, let me frame it for you this way. Or in other words, with Jesus' word repent, he asks you and me the question today, perhaps the most important question you will ever be asked in life, where is your relationship at with God? Especially through his son, Jesus Christ. And the question that immediately follows is this, is there something going on in your life that's hurting your relationship with God or with other people? See, the people come up to Jesus, and they got the social media buzz, they got the newspaper, they got the article, they got the pictures, and they say, Jesus, you wouldn't believe this happened. Cause and effect, Jesus? Jesus, this happened over here. Boy, it is hard to believe. Did they just do something that just messed up bad? And Jesus, in the strength of his relationship with the people and with you and me today, he does this. He comes close to the people, and he asks the question, where are you at in your relationship with God? Is there something going on in your life that's hurting and crippling your relationship with God and with others? Now see, that's a tough one, isn't it? Because now we can't talk about something over here or maybe over here. Now we have to talk about something where it matters most. pulls it back like this. He gives them a parable, and a parable is just this. It's a spiritual truth about the kingdom of God couched in an earthly example. And why the earthly example? Because you and I can relate to those. This is what Jesus says in verse 6. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree. I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Sounds like the caretaker of the vineyard is someone who knows a lot about grace, who knows about the way a situation should be unfolding and desires to change, speaks up for time and for grace. Sounds to me a lot like Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, Peter shares this. It says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like what? A day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to what? Repentance." In other words, change. If I'm going that direction and it is counter to God's word in my relationship with him and with others, then it's time to do what? Not keep going that way, but do what? Go that way. Maybe that's an attitude. Maybe that's a behavior. Maybe that's a relationship dynamic. Maybe that's greed. Maybe that's pornography. Maybe that's stealing. Maybe that's anger. Maybe that's abuse. If we're going towards those things, then hear this today. It is time for a change. In this parable, this one who speaks up for a little more time sounds a lot like Jesus, who spent 3 powerful years telling people about God's plan of hope for them through his Messiah. And yet, what did the crowds do? They rejected God's Messiah. But God in his grace does what? He gives time for the relationship to go in the direction it's supposed to go. See, there are a lot of people who hear about this thing called crucifixion in life, and they don't know how to interpret it. This is where you and I come in. This is where you and I are blessed to speak to this situation of grace and forgiveness and hope through God's Son, our Savior, Jesus. No more cause and effect theology. No more, "Well, the scale's like this, you better do that." No. God paid the price through his Son, Jesus. Some people need help understanding this image. You can't put Jesus in a box. You can't keep him down. And this Jesus who comes back 3 days later with resurrection life is the same Jesus who's promised to come back for you and for me again one day in the strength of a relationship. People don't know how to interpret that. So that's where you and I step in. God's word, what is it all about? It's about Jesus. God's gift of baptism, it's about his grace and his forgiveness and his gift of his Holy Spirit and a thing called faith. Communion, God meeting his people, God blessing his people with forgiveness and hope. See, friends, when things don't make sense, when the situation's confusing, when it's beyond our understanding, we don't speak to things we don't understand, but as people of hope, we speak to what we do understand. And it's just this, that God is for you. And that when these situations of brokenness happen in your life and in my life, there is always somebody with you. And his name is Jesus. That's the picture we give people. That's the message of hope that we share. And that message is for all people. Galileans, Judeans, Samaritans, and then some. So here's the question. Because Jesus loves you enough to challenge you where you're at today and not leave you there, but draw you away from that. Will the Lord be pleased with what he finds you doing later today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are a lot of things in life that play out that just don't make sense. Things that leave us asking questions like, why? And what happened? Did I do something? Did they do something? What's the cause of this? And yet in your word, you come back with an answer that maybe we didn't expect, but what we need. It's an answer that calls upon us to leave those areas of sin and brokenness in order to follow you in faith. So we pray that that would happen in our lives today, that through the work of your Holy Spirit and your word, we would leave those things here that need to stop. And that we could follow you and give the image and the picture that you've given us to share with the world. That your son Jesus paid a debt we could never, ever hope to pay. And because of that gift of grace, you forgive us. You welcome us into your kingdom. So as we run into situations that don't make sense this week, may that be our response. May that be our answer. And when we find ourselves in the midst of activities, thoughts, or behaviors that need to stop, by the grace of God, may they stop. It's in the name of Jesus.